perspective, and growth. This is the Michael Carroll Discipleship Podcast. Have you ever wondered what Easter really means? And what does Genesis say about Easter and the resurrection? And why did Jesus even have to raise from the dead? Well, if you've ever wondered these things and you're looking to find out a deeper meaning of what Easter is all about, this four-part series is just for you. Hope you're excited. Let's get ready to learn. Well, here we are. I hope you're excited. We're starting our four-part series on what Easter is really all about. And in the next four episodes, my goal is to help you understand with a better perspective and a clearer understanding of what the resurrection really means, not only about that day and what happened on that day, but what that means for Christians across the world who put their faith and trust in Jesus. In episode one today, we're going to be talking about creation and how creation actually ties into the whole story of resurrection. And many of us, we know the story of Genesis and creation. And of course, many of us, we know the story of Easter as well, as Jesus rising from the dead and all of these things. But how does this all tie together? What was God's reason or purpose for giving us Jesus on the cross? And as we unpack creation, we're going to be talking about what this means for those who put their hope in the resurrected Jesus. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that's the very first verse in the Bible, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, in this passage, we see that there is a purpose. We see a God in action. And I also want you to notice something interesting. It says that God created the heavens and the earth. And they can appear to be separate. And oftentimes, I feel like in our culture, especially modern Western Christianity, we tend to view these things as being separate. Yet, after that verse, for the next 22 verses, the Bible refers specifically and inclusively to the earth. And that's a little odd because we just read about God creating the heavens and the earth, and now we're only hearing about the earth. But what we will learn as the Bible develops itself, that there is a dimension of heaven and the natural space of earth that were both designed to interlock and work together as a perfect unit. In fact, they were never created to be seen as separate or distant locations, but they were created as dimensions united to complement each other. And this is really exciting stuff. And we see it at the very beginning of Scripture, that heaven and earth was created to live and function in unity together. So here we are, we have a God who is creating with purpose, and he has brought heaven and earth together for his presence to dwell in. And when we look at earth from this perspective, we begin to see things a little bit differently. We see that God actually created a temple for his presence to dwell, a place where he would be worshiped. And we know from ancient culture that temples were meant for worship, and the God that was worshiped would most often have their image placed within that temple so that the worshiper would recognize who they were offering their worship to. So now we are left with a couple issues here. As of now, there's no one to worship him in this temple that he's created. And also, there's no image of himself in this temple. But yet, as we continue to read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, there's a short little section of the Bible that brings all of this together. The Bible says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." We'll see a little bit of a hint towards the understanding of what the Trinity is and the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, but that's a different subject. We're not going to unpack that right now, but an interesting note to say. So, continuing, Bible says they will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals in the earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Verse 27, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Get this, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. There's so much to unpack here, but let's focus on one important detail that I think is important for us to see. We see right here that mankind was not only created by God, but they were given an occupation. This occupation consisted of being here to worship God and being the image bearers of God. Also, they were to rule and govern the land as God's image bearers, establishing God's kingdom upon the earth. Now, here on the very first page of the Bible, this is what we see. We see some amazing things. We see heaven and earth, they fit perfectly together. They are not distant locations. They are not worlds apart, but they were created to fit perfectly together. And we see God's presence dwelling with man. And we see that it was the natural state of a human being to be dwelling with the presence of God. And man was also the image bearers of God who were to subdue the earth. They were like his government on this earth. And this is what it meant to be truly human. They reflected God also to all of creation. And the amazing thing about this is they were also designed to reflect the worship of all of creation back to God. I'm gonna say that again. Let's unpack that. They reflected God to all of creation, his image. Yet they were also designed to reflect the worship of all of creation back up to God. Yet in all of this beauty, and these are some really amazing things to see on the very first page of the Bible, something went tragically wrong. And this kicks off the story or history, one would say, that unfolds within the Bible. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man that he had made." Verse 15, "The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it," part of his occupation there. "But the Lord God warned him, 'You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die.'" Now, most of us know what happens next, and so I don't want to get too into it, but I'll briefly explain. We begin to see a dark force developing in Scripture, an enemy of God that is introduced into the picture in the very next chapter. And he challenges God's authority by contradicting his spoken word. He challenges Eve to not listen to God. He's just trying to keep you from being like him, but it's not all that bad. You can try it out. And that whole part about you dying, well, that was all made up. So the woman eats the fruit, and then the man eats the fruit, and this heaven and earth, this God and man connection is tragically disrupted, and man and woman are forced out of the garden where the tree of the life was planted. Now, some natural questions are left for us to deal with right now. There's a couple things we need to talk about. One is, where did this enemy come from? Where is this dark force, this kind of weird enemy of God, where did he come from? And if God created everything, why did God allow this enemy to tempt mankind the way he did? Now, we will learn more about this enemy as Scripture develops, and we'll learn that he is eventually has the name of the Satan, and he appears in many different forms throughout Scripture. The Bible talks about principalities and powers, dark forces, fallen angels, demonic legions, and armies. And although much of this still remains a mystery, we do know some things. And what we do know is that Satan was basically booted out of heaven in almost the same way Adam and Eve were. He had exalted himself above God, and he desired to be like God and receive the worship of the heavenly angels for himself. And as we will learn, whenever the creation gets the worship instead of the Creator, everything is thrown out of whack. And it's true for our lives today as Christians. Whenever we get the glory and not God, you are headed for a downfall. Whenever the Creator gets the worship, gets the glory, or whenever the creation correction gets the glory, gets the worship over the Creator, you are about to see big trouble. And everything gets thrown out of whack, and serious damage is done in the lives of God's perfect creation when this happens. It throws everything out of balance. So Satan had to go. So now that we know where he came from, why would God allow him on earth where humans dwelled? And this is where we begin to see the occupation or the assignment of mankind begin to make sense in our minds. If you follow me, things will begin to click in your mind. man was told to fill the earth and subdue it. Another scripture says mankind was to govern the earth. They were to rule and establish authority upon this earth for the kingdom of God. They were God's image bearers. They were his living and active government who were receiving their orders directly from the top and bringing everything under the submission of his kingdom. It is apparent that Satan was part of their assignment. They were to subdue him and bring him into submission to God's kingdom. And this is the tragedy about what will eventually become known as the fall. We had all the authority to rule this earth, and we handed it over to the enemy we were meant to subdue. And in other words, the first sin that separated man from God was actually a failure of their occupation. To say it plainly, we just didn't do our jobs. So what are we going to do? Well, in the next couple of episodes, we're going to unpack how this whole drama unfolds and how it relates to Easter Sunday, but I want to make a special note of a couple things. After man failed in their assignments, they sinned against God. The Bible says, "The Lord God said, 'Look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever.' So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made." Now, this is what we unpack. And this, if we begin to understand this, this will help lead us towards understanding the resurrection. Why would God be so concerned about them living forever at that moment in that broken state? I mean, he seemed so concerned that he had to ban them from being anywhere close to the tree of life. Now, this is what we learn. We learn that because they were fallen, they were in sin. And this means they were in a broken state. God did not want them to live in that state forever. No, no, no. He had a much better plan to get them back to their original occupation. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see a beautiful prophetic declaration that he will bring a seed forth that would crush the head of death and the enemy. And this is the first of many more declarations and prophecies we'll see that reveal a God of mercy and justice. A God that does not just give up on what he begins, but we see a God who will finish what he has started. And so here we see a major, major problem on the earth. Creation has spiraled downward. The humans who were created to govern and rule and establish authority of the kingdom upon this earth have failed at their assignment. They gave their authority over to the enemy that they were meant to subdue, and now the earth was in big trouble. What was God going to do? How was he going to accomplish this prophecy that he declared in the very beginning of the Bible? How was he going to save his creation and restore mankind back into their original state and restore them back into their original occupation, their original assignment? Well, we'll talk about this and a whole lot more as we continue our four-part journey of discovering what Easter is really all about.